You know, if you're anything like us, you look at the calendar today and just think, wait, where? Where did that term even go? It feels like we blinked and suddenly the holidays are here.
It really does.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. And a huge welcome to all the busy parents out there who just survived what sounds like a truly action-packed autumn half term.
It's such a whirlwind time of year, and we get it. Trying to absorb every single detail from a multi-page school newsletter, well, it can feel like a second job you just don't have time for.
Exactly. So our mission today is, well, it's your shortcut. You shared the Asheville Primary School December 2025 newsletter with us, and we're going to dive deep into it. We're distilling all that information, the performances, the community support, the achievements, into the key things you really need to know.
Right. And we're not just, you know, reading out bullet points. We're looking at this newsletter as a collection of evidence. Evidence of a really supportive, thriving educational environment. Mm. We're connecting the dots between, say, successful performance and what that actually means for every child.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start where the festive term always shines brightest, right? On the stage. The theatrical triumphs are front and center here.
Absolutely. The early years, so that's nursery and reception, they performed Knock Knock, the Nativity.
Hmm.
And what's really notable, I think, is that the children incorporated Makaton signs into their performance.
Oh, that's wonderful. So for anyone who might not be familiar, Makaton is a communication system. It uses signs and symbols with speech.
Exactly.
That kind of commitment to inclusion, starting right there in the earliest years, it just sets such a great tone, doesn't it?
It really does. And that energy carried right through to Key Stage One's performance of Prickly Hay.
Yeah.
And this wasn't just about entertainment. They immediately connected it to charitable action. The ticket sales from those shows,
mm-hmm.
plus some other choir events, generated an incredible £807.50. And all of that money went directly to the Garden House Hospice.
Wow, over £800. That's a phenomenal sum. And a really powerful lesson for the children, you know, using their talents for the greater good.
Mm.
But I think the single most generous act detailed here has to go to the PTA. The entire school was treated to a professional panto performance of Peter Pan.
The whole school.
The whole school. And it was entirely funded by the PTA.
That is a huge investment. I mean, that's a whole school memory created through just dedicated volunteer work and fundraising. For parents listening, that's also a huge win.
Right.
It's an organized, high-quality treat that the staff don't have to coordinate and parents don't have to pay for individually.
Mm-hmm.
It's just community joy delivered on a platter.
Speaking of community generosity, we have to talk about the hard numbers from the charity fundraising. Even with the weather canceling the planned year six versus staff basketball match.
Right, I saw that.
The school still raised a massive 378 ARC for children in need.
That's amazing. And that figure included the disco, right?
Yeah.
And all the classes completing their Challenge 25 activity.
Exactly. It was a huge collective effort. And the year six students, I mean, they really stepped up their leadership this term, didn't they?
They certainly did. Their Christmas bazaar raised an additional 500.15.
£500.15. I love the precision.
Me too. And it's all earmarked for school council-led projects next year. It's great to see the newsletter specifically thanking the Year 6 parents for their support too.
Yeah, that's so important. But here's where we see that really strategic community funding having an institutional impact, the Asheville Show Committee grant.
What's fascinating here is the scale and the purpose of that investment. They generously agreed to fund vital resources, totaling 2,280.75.
Wow.
And this isn't just basic gap filling. This is excellence building.
So what are the key things the school is buying with that grant? It looks like it's upgrading core learning materials across, well, multiple subjects.
Precisely. The funds are going to a class set of dictionaries and thesauruses, essential class globes for geography,
mm-hmm.
replenishment of high-quality reading books, and crucially, additional resources tailored for SEND literacy support.
And just to quickly clarify, for any new parents, SEND means special educational needs and disabilities. So that funding is specifically targeting resources to make sure every student has the right tools.
Right. But the standout item, for me, the one that points directly toward future-proofing the curriculum, is the whole school Capella STEM workshop.
Ah, Capella Blocks. So that's about creative engineering, problem solving.
All of that. And yeah. using community funds to boost practical science and engineering skills across every single year group. That just shows real strategic vision.
It sounds like the financial success of this term is enabling a whole new level of hands-on learning.
Yeah.
Which brings us perfectly to the incredible range of enrichment trips they took. I mean, really broadening horizons beyond the classroom.
Year three really got to immerse themselves in ancient Egypt. Their trip in early November was to the Fitzwilliam Museum in Cambridge.
Right.
They got up close to amazing artifacts in the Made in Ancient Egypt exhibition. So things like jewelry, ceramics, sculptures, tangible links to their history topic. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just a passive trip, was it? They tied it directly back to their classroom work.
Exactly. They took part in an art workshop recreating Egyptian images on actual papyrus paper. It's that physical, memorable connection.
And again, we see the PTA stepping up to support the youngest learners, the EYFS Little Cities experience.
This sounded amazing. A massive multi-station setup in the hall. A shop, a doctor's, a vet, a builder's yard. Mm. All aimed at embedding learning about people who help us.
And the PTA funded it, so the youngest ones aren't missing out on those crucial, large-scale, play-based experiences.
It's so important at that age.
Now, the Year 5 geography inquiry really stands out to me. The focus was so specific and ambitious, investigating how recreational activities in Ashwell compare to a high-altitude Himalayan village.
It's brilliant comparative geography. They started local, walking through Ashwell, observing the wreck in the springs, collecting data on what was available to them.
And then they connected that to a truly global perspective.
And that's where we get this fascinating nugget of specialized knowledge. They hosted Harriet Hunt, an expert from Kew Gardens, with experience in Ethiopia. And she introduced them to the enset plant.
The enset plant. I had to look this up. It's incredible.
What's amazing about it is just the sheer scale of its utility in the Ethiopian highlands. Harriet explained this plant can reach up to 7 meters tall.
7 meters.
And children as young as 7 can climb it, using it almost like a natural piece of play equipment.
So it's not just a giant climbable structure. It's a foundational resource for the whole community.
Completely. They learned that the stem is processed for flour and nutrients, and the strong leaves are used for roofing. It provides food, building materials, and a natural activity center, all in one.
It just fundamentally changes the conversation about what resources are when you compare it to a walk around the wreck in Ashwell, doesn't it?
It gives them a real-world perspective on resource scarcity and adaptation. It makes that local study so much richer.
Right. And shifting from global knowledge back to local safety, Year 6 got some crucial practical life skills training.
Yes, the Crucial Crew workshop in Letchworth. Absolutely essential preparation for that transition to secondary school.
So they learn hands-on practical safety, like CPR, understanding railway safety, awareness of cybercrime, and the dangers of alcohol. All about how to react safely as they gain more independence.
It's that real-world readiness.
And beyond the trips and the trophies, the term really focused on the foundation, the health and well-being of every student.
Absolutely. A great new addition this term is the introduction of the new well-being ambassador.
So this is student-led support.
Crucial student-led support, yes. And they've already started supporting the weekly chill and chat sessions.
And it's important to emphasize, these students aren't just volunteers picked at random. The newsletter says they were carefully interviewed and received specific training from Ms. Sohol in active listening.
Which means they're properly equipped to offer genuine empathy and create that safe, friendly space for other children.
It's a fantastic initiative. And following that theme of specialized support, the SEN Spotlight, this term, focused on stammering.
Also called stuttering, yes. Two staff members, Ms. Meehan and Mrs. Page, went for specialized training to improve school-wide understanding of this.
It's so vital we understand this topic clearly. I mean, stammering is simply a difference in the flow of speech, right? Those moments when it doesn't flow easily.
Exactly. And critically, the training emphasized what stammering is not. It is not caused by anxiety or shyness or poor parenting.
Right.
A child might feel anxious because they stammer, but it's not the cause. Research shows it's influenced by brain function and genetics, which helps dispel those old, unhelpful myths.
I think the most valuable takeaway from this section for you, the listener, is the actionable advice for creating a relaxed listening environment at home.
The tips are so simple but so powerful. Slow down your own speech to model a calm pace. Avoid interrupting or jumping in to finish their sentences.
That's a hard one for parents sometimes.
It is, but it's so important. And focus on the message they are trying to convey, not how they're saying it. They also advise using positive language like bumpy talking. And just letting the child know that it's okay.
And for parents who want to learn more, the school provided links to some great external resources, specifically the British Stammering Association, STAMA, and ACTION for stammering children.
Yeah, Really useful links there. And just a final note on school culture, the attendance update. The current whole school figure is 97.3%, which is above the national average.
That's great to hear.
And a special congratulations to Year One, who had the best class attendance at 98.5% and won a well-deserved non-uniform day.
Okay, let's wrap this up with the fantastic sporting wins and a crucial look at the calendar for the spring term. Because on the pitch, it was a truly dominant half term for the school football teams.
A double tournament victory. The younger cohort, the Year 3 and 4 team, were the overall winners of their tournament. And we had to give a special shout out to William.
Top scorer with 5 goals and player of the tournament. Well done, William.
And that success continued right up the age groups. The Year 5 and 6 A team also came away as overall winners after a nail-biting penalty shootout.
And Frazier was named top scorer and player of the tournament for the A-team. Clearly, they're cultivating some serious talent there.
They are. And let's not overlook the Y56 netball team. They showed great sportsmanship and strength, narrowly missing a top-3 spot after a sudden-death shootout. A brilliant performance in freezing conditions.
Before we look ahead, we have to mention the new musical milestones. This term saw the debut of the Showcase Wednesday in formal concerts.
This is a superb initiative, just for celebrating creative talent and building confidence. These informal lunchtime concerts allowed children of any standard to perform.
And the variety sounds incredible. Piano, violin, clarinet, acoustic drum kit, and even the steel pan.
The steel pan.